We know that when we come to the end of our life on this earth and face our Maker, we will be judged on love. Love will be the measure of our life. The Catechism teaches us that holiness is measured by love. So if we are going to be saints in heaven, we will enter because of love. I worry that a lot of people will arrive at Judgment Day and find that true love is different from what they believed love to be in this world. They may stand before the Lord and say, "Well, Lord, I went to church when it was convenient. I gave occasionally to charity. But I try to be a good person." I hear that a lot. There's nothing wrong with trying to be a good person. That's a good thing. But I worry that the Lord would then say, "Is that what you thought I meant when I said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind?" See, God calls us to be more than just good people. Yes, we must be good. He calls us to so much more. God calls us to the heights of sanctity, really. The church is in the business of making saints. That's our goal. Not that one in a million would become a saint, as we sometimes think, but that a million out of a million would be saints. That a million out of a million would live lives of extraordinary charity, not just a good life, but live truly in an extraordinary way. We realize then that Jesus reveals to us exactly what charity means. He shows us what love is. Every time we walk into this church, we see right there on the cross a visual reminder of Jesus' teaching in today's gospel. We see, obviously, a vertical dimension of love. I preach about all the time, loving God above everything else, desiring nothing more than to do God's will in our life. But we also see very clearly the horizontal dimension, that love must also include concern for our neighbor. And I suppose I preach about that all the time too, how we must love one another, forgive, have mercy, and strive to build one another up in love, in faith, in hope, and in virtue. It's interesting that in today's gospel, Jesus not only speaks about love for the Lord our God, but then he offers the scholar of the law a second commandment that wasn't asked for. And he says that the second is like the first. He doesn't just say, "Here's the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself." He says the second is like the first. How? Well, the first commandment is characterized by an absoluteness, a completeness. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He's talking here about a love that is more than just something on the surface level. He's talking about a love that costs us something. I'm not talking about material cost only. That's part of it. But our love for God must cost us something. It's our whole heart and soul and mind that are engaged in our love of God. And the second commandment is like it. Not the same, but like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your love for your neighbor, he says, must cost you something. There must be a completeness, a real depth of love that you extend to your neighbor. And perhaps there's a little clue in that, because he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love ourselves? Well, I suppose there are lots of ways. But one of the ways that we love or express love for ourselves and gratitude for the gift of life that God has given is by taking care of ourselves, providing for our needs, nourishing our bodies, you know, with good food and with exercise, and trying to avoid the things that harm us. We take good care of ourselves. And so loving our neighbor then means also providing for our neighbor's needs. Now, maybe none of us know a single person who is about to die of starvation. I don't know anyone. I know people who are poor. I know people who get by with very little. But I don't know anyone personally who's about to die because they don't have food. And so maybe sometimes when we think about taking care of our neighbors, our perspective is a little bit limited. But at the same time, we know very well that people in this world are dying because they don't have enough food to eat. I signed up for a free subscription to Time magazine. I read an article recently that said that someone purchased a diamond for millions and millions of dollars. Now, I don't begrudge that person the right to buy that diamond. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I wonder if that person also made a matching donation to charity. And my suspicion is that he or she didn't. But wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if whenever we spent something for our own enjoyment or for our own entertainment, we also gave a matching donation to the poor? Pope Leo XIII, back in 1891, wrote an encyclical that concerned social justice. And he wrote that once the demands of necessity and propriety have been met, everything else we own belongs to the poor. Once our own needs are met, everything else we have belongs to the poor. I think if we let that settle a little bit, it may make us a little uncomfortable. But wow, I mean, what a lofty standard to live by. And what's amazing is that we have the example of saints who show us that this isn't just some idea. This principle doesn't have to remain as just words on a page. You might think of the example of Saint Martin of Tours, a young man who was a soldier, and one day, as he was journeying from one place to another, he saw a man who was destitute sitting there by the side of the road, and it was cold. It was very cold outside. So Martin saw this man, and he took off the cloak he was wearing, drew his sword, and cut the cloak in two, and gave half of it to the poor man, and kept the other half for himself. And then, as the story goes, that night, as Saint Martin was sleeping, he saw a vision of Jesus, and Jesus was wearing that half of the cloak that he had given to the poor man on the street. You see, true love, authentic charity, has to cost us something. Whether it's vertical love, the love that we have for God, or that horizontal love that we have for our neighbor. If love doesn't hurt, then our love is really only a shadow of the love that God calls us to live by. And this is a hard teaching. This is a very hard teaching. And yet, at the same time, we know that God gives us the strength to do it He's given us his Holy Spirit dwelling within us, who compels us to love in an extraordinary way. He nourishes us with the Eucharist, that very life of God expressed through the death and resurrection of Christ. That is our food. That's what we rely upon to truly express the love that God calls us to express. Not only in that deep and abiding relationship with him, but also in every relationship that we carry on with our brothers and sisters in Christ.